It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
TikTok users have gone apoplectic. This is all over a new ad for American Eagle jeans. Yes, even jeans are making the news, especially when they star young actress Sydney Sweeney. In this commercial, she uses a play on words comparing the kind of jeans you wear, J-E-A-N-S, to the kinds of biological jeans you're born with, G-E-N-E-S. The kinds of genes which gave her such good looks. Well, leave it to the brilliance of today's woke generation to explain to us what this play on words truly means. That's right, nothing less than full-on Nazi propaganda! Sweeney, a blonde, blue-eyed 27-year-old, is wearing a pair of jeans and a denim jacket. She says, jeans are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. My jeans are blue. And then, for emphasis, to make sure we get the joke, she bats her blue eyes. Now, I never cared much for blue jeans commercials. I always thought they were rather stupid all the way back to the days of Jordache. But that has nothing to do with our point today. Point is, this ad went viral after it was posted by a Sweeney fan, and some of the profits are going to Crisis Text Line. That's a nonprofit offering free 24/7 mental health support. Well, that doesn't satisfy the left. You see, jeans reminds us of Nazis because of Hitler's eugenics program. So TikTokers are calling the ad Nazi propaganda and fascist weird. Oh, MSNBC chimed in as well. Of course they did. What else would they be doing? They said the ad shows a cultural shift toward whiteness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all know families talk about their gene pools all the time. Oh, she has her father's eyes. He has his mother's nose. So why is this being viewed as anything more than a pun? Maybe even a stupid pun, but a pun? Because Sydney Sweeney is white and blonde with blue eyes, which to Hitler was descriptive of the super Aryan race. If she was black or Hispanic making this commercial or Asian selling jeans, or maybe even white with dark hair and brown eyes, nobody would be saying a word. So, Nazism is what Sweeney had on her mind when she made this commercial. Nazism, and we know this for a fact. Can we read her mind? Well, one guy says he can read her mind. Activist Zeli Amani, whose ex-profile includes the phrase, all black everything, he thinks he can read minds. He said quite emphatically that this ad is, quote-unquote, a love letter to white nationalism and eugenic fantasies, and Sydney Sweeney knew it. Yep, she knew it. See? Mind reader. Leave it to the left. They will find racism and Nazism with everyone. Well, everyone but real Nazis and real racists. They don't seem so concerned about eugenics that they speak against planned abortions for babies who might be born with Down syndrome. And they glorify women like Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger, who believed in superior breeding. Take a look at her own words, Sanger's own words. The most merciful thing that a large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. This so-called mercy had to do partly with the hazards siblings face in large, unhealthy families. Sanger may have been legitimately concerned about that, but isn't it chilling to see a person play God? Unfortunately, there are other Sanger quotes even more harrowing. She goes back to that dated phrase, Negro. I'm quoting her, you understand. We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. That is from a letter to Dr. Clarence Gamble, December 10th, 1939. In context, her idea was the sterilization of blacks, even though the word exterminate is used, although such a distinction should make no difference to anybody with a claim of decency. Now, Sanger did claim that this Negro project was an attempt to help the people obtain safer contraception, but then she also spoke to a women's branch of the KKK. Sanger believed in superior breeding, approved of Hitler's early sterilization program, and advanced forced sterilization for those whom she considered unworthy to produce. Sanger even published an article by Dr. Ernst Rolden, director of the Nazi Medical Experimentation Program. She published it in her journal, Birth Control Review. So you want to compare people to the Nazis? Let's compare the ones that really were like Nazis. Of course, eugenics are just part of what the Nazis did. Do these same brilliant people on the left who call out Nazis today also support Hamas, which openly calls for global intifada? Do they support the harassment of Jewish students on campuses? And you always hear, oh, well, I'm anti-Israel, I'm not anti-Jewish. Well, the Jews in America aren't Israelis, they're Americans. A lot of Jews in America, sadly, don't even support Israel. It doesn't matter. If you were Jewish on campuses, you were harassed. There were no Jew zones. Jews were kept from going to the library. Jews were kept from going to class. There are all kinds of anti-Semitic statements being made by people today. Holocaust deniers. This guy that I quoted from earlier, Imani, is himself anti-Israel. He calls Israel's justice against Hamas genocide, even though it actually was justice because Hamas had decapitated parents, raped women, put Jewish babies into ovens. But the narrative today is not that Hamas believes in genocide. No, Israel believes in genocide for defending herself and trying to wipe out the terrorists. Yeah, sure, Israel believes in genocide. Israel doesn't want peace. That's why she turned Gaza over to the Palestinians in 2005 and at that time gave billions of dollars for hospitals and greenhouses. She gave it to the Palestinians, these same Palestinians who elected Hamas into power, an organization that does not recognize Israel's right to exist. And from 2005 to 2023, they were firing missiles into Israel when they decided to top it off with that horrific attack against innocent families. And the latest lie? Genocide by starvation. You see, different countries of the world are trying to get food to Gaza civilians. People are still starving because Israel won't allow the food to go through. That is a downright lie. Unfortunately, a lot of sincere people believe it because it's a lie being carried by the mainstream media. Now, there may be people starving, and there are serious problems, but not because of Israel. There is actual IDF footage of food and water being taken away from the people by the Hamas terrorists after it was already distributed. But like I said, the mainstream media is buying into this hook, line, and sinker. There was a story with a picture being floated by the New York Times showing a malnutritioned Palestinian baby whose bones were practically out of the body. The photo's caption claimed the boy was born healthy, and the attached story about a hunger crisis in Gaza described new and astonishing levels of desperation, quote-unquote, focused on Palestinians dying from starvation. Interestingly enough, other family members in the exact same photo looked healthy. Hard to understand that one if the whole family was starving along with the entire population. Well, hold on to your seats, because in a rare moment of confession, the New York Times admitted what happened. This child had a pre-existing condition affecting brain and muscle development. So this wasn't due to starvation. So the New York Times came clean. Well, kind of. Their admission was buried below their original story that had already been in circulation for more than 4 days. And notice the way they phrase their apology. You'll just love this. We recently ran a story about Gaza's most vulnerable citizens, including Mohammed Zakari Amatawak, who is about 18 months old and suffers from severe malnutrition. We have since learned new information, including from the hospital that treated him and his medical records, and have updated our story to add context about his pre-existing health problems. This additional detail gives readers a greater understanding of his situation. Our reporters and photographers continue to report from Gaza bravely, sensitively, and at personal risk so that readers can see firsthand the consequences of the war. That was the correction of the New York Times translation. We freely admit that we got one fact wrong by being overly consumed with our compassion and bravery. But it's not just about food. There are lies about everything. Again, Israel's being accused of genocide. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying the people in Gaza aren't really suffering. I'm not saying the IDF has never made any mistakes. They admitted some mistakes. All armies make mistakes. It comes with war. But Israel did not start this war. Israel never started any of the wars, even the ones waged by surrounding nations, sometimes nine nations at a time, over the years since the 1940s. I am sick and tired of these grotesque lies. I'm also tired of self-righteous morons who find Nazism from everybody but Nazis. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Thank you.
Welcome back to 1170 AM 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Good afternoon, Bob. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing okay.
Awesome. Good to hear. So, don't mean to break the fourth wall with you folks here, because we're in radio land, but last week, I remember talking with Bob. He said, I'm just going to give you a fun little monologue to play about my everyday life and just those kind of things. And I said, I don't know. I think you might do a modern news story.
Yeah, I guess I just couldn't resist the news.
And then I wanted to correct myself, because you did correct me off the air, that Jerome Powell, and this was referencing
going back to the Dave Stahl,
the Dave Stahl show. Yeah. Jerome Powell was selected in that specific position, the chair of Federal Reserves, by Donald Trump in it during his first term specifically.
Yeah, and Trump had a lot of good faith when he would go by recommendations. He would assume, I think the guy's a Republican, but
he is registered Republican,
but obviously a rhino and a deep stater, and he remained under Biden and did everything he could to help Biden's presidency.
Right. Like, the two things I do want to mention is that, number one, he first got into politics in 1992 when he was the Undersecretary of Treasury for Domestic Finance underneath President George H.W. Bush. He later was a visiting scholar for the Bipartisan Policy Center, which, once again, we talked about how people who want to stay in the middle, you're going to constantly be going to one more side other than the other. You're not going to be strictly down the middle on a lot of these things. And the more the left goes to the left, the more you have to go that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's so insane now, because he wants the economy to be in good enough shape to cut through. So we have, what, several $1 billion surplus for the first time in years. What, he's got to wait till it's a $1 trillion surplus? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then what does he do? He's able to fix the interest rate three times underneath Biden's administration.
To make his pitiful administration look better.
Yeah, exactly. So I am not going to be surprised that Trump will announce the firing. He's still trying to do the process,
yeah, and
I
if
guess.
He does, I guarantee you someone's going to go to court and a judge is going to tell Trump it's unconstitutional to fire him.
What? What do you mean? Okay.
What I mean is it's Donald Trump. That's yes. all I mean.
I understand, but he has the legal right to do that.
Of course
he hired him
does.
Underneath his
He's
branch.
Had the legal right to do everything he's done. It doesn't matter. These people wouldn't know the Constitution from toilet paper. They're going to just claim it's unconstitutional.
Okay.
They're going to go nuts when he fires
but
him.
But a Supreme Court justice shouldn't overstep their I know I should be saying this, but they should overstep their power by saying, you can't fire this man because you hired
him. Well, it's
him.
Mostly the lower federal courts that are doing that, although the Supreme Court doesn't have a great track record on some issues either.
Right. Well, they recently did, remember.
Recently, they haven't been so bad.
Yeah, but it's the federal government system, so it's going to work pretty slowly every way. All right. Well, today for news stories, I have a few different topics for you. Let's start off with the big news story that happened late in July, but we're finally getting to it now. It is the fact that there is some defunding that's going on to NPR and PBS stations.
I think we talked about this a little bit, but we probably didn't give it its due attention.
Right. The actual big news coming out over this last week is that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has announced that it will be winding down its operations as the year is progressing on. So they're going to slowly try to trickle out a lot of employees from that area. Now, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has already been defunded year after year after year quite often due to federal government wanting to budget out that money out of the public broadcasting.
And due to the fact that they suck.
And that too, yes. And they move it over to other things, whether it be military spending or making up brand new administrations or, I don't know, Department of Education, which was just a waste of money as it was. But nevertheless, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting announced on Friday that it's winding down its operations because President Trump has signed a law clawing back $1.1 billion in funding for public broadcasting through the fiscal year of
2020. That's unconstitutional! That's going to end our democracy as we know it!
Quick, go to that judge. He knows what he's talking about.
Oh my gosh.
A quote from CPB President and CEO Patricia Harrison said in a statement, despite the extraordinary efforts of millions of Americans who called, wrote, and petitioned Congress to preserve federal funding for CPB, we now face the difficult reality of closing our operations. CPB informed employees that many staff positions will be eliminated within the close fiscal year on September 30th, 2025. They said that there will be a small amount of team members left to just focus on compliance, fiscal distribution, and resolution resolution of long-term financial obligations, including ensuring the continuity of music rights and royalties that remain essential to public media systems. So in other words, who's going to pay the bills if we have to play music for certain public stations to play? So that's the only reason why we're keeping these five people on the team, and that's about
These guys are caught in a time warp. Assuming I ever even liked PBS and it didn't put me to sleep whenever I turned it on. And granted, occasionally they'd show a Peter, Paul, and Mary concert, but then they'd interrupt it for a half hour between acts to raise money. But
it's okay. True.
And assuming I ever liked Sesame Street, which I didn't, because it was based on the theory that kids have a short attention span, which is not true. Kids will sit through the movie Mary Poppins, which is 2.5 hours long, and they'll sit there glued to the screen. But it created, it became a self-fulfilled prophecy. And assuming that shows like Sesame Street haven't now become woke and they're bringing out transgender puppets, let's just say, okay, it was good to have an educational channel. We had three television networks back in the days when PBS came along, NBC, ABC, CBS. Then we had some independent stations. Then we had this educational channel. People act like getting rid of it is creating some horrible, horrible vacuum of education. How many channels can you get on cable now? And I'm not even talking about the fact that cable's being replaced by streaming, but even on cable, you can have 1,000 channels, and there's the History Channel, and there's the Nature Channel, and the Geography Channel.
Not to mention the ones that are focused on kids, there are plenty of channels like
all
that out
there,
too. All
kinds of kids programs. We just don't need it any longer, but if people want to have it, fine. Let them fund it. The idea that our tax dollars have to go for this when it's just simply not needed because time has gone on, life has gone on. We are not living in the 1960s with three networks and the education channel being the fourth. It's just insane.
I really wish there was an easier way of just saying you're only allowed this federal money for these kind of programs, but we know that once the PBS stations get this kind of money, they can do whatever they want with it at that
point. But they have all kinds of other funding. That's why they're always interrupting their concerts to raise funds. They have all kinds of public funding. Yeah. They don't really need the money, but even if they did, this is not a crisis. We have a gazillion educational channels. We don't need PBS, but if you think you need it, donate to it. Nobody's stopping you. Yeah. Nobody's making it against the law for their idiotic channel to be on.
And it's still tax deductible too for people if they're interested in that.
Yeah, there you
still.
Go.
So, and number two thing I was going to mention was what you just said about Sesame Street. Look at Mr. Rogers. I mean, he barely used puppets. Oh, it was only at the end of the show. It
now,
was
he still did a good show, I must say.
No, he made
me nauseous, but I have to admit that it was good for my kids. They loved it.
Yeah.
And the movie that Tom Hanks did about his life was a fantastic movie.
And I would also suggest his documentary too is very, very good if you have not seen that either. It is really, really well done. But again, barely used puppets and again, slow paced. My son was still entertained with it. Watch it. And he's almost two. At that time, he was one.
Yeah, that was better. That didn't ascribe to the fast paced attention span of kids. That was a much more slower moving show, which I thought was good.
And all Mr. Rogers did was got down to their level, talked nicely and peacefully about everyday activities that happen in today's
society.
You
know, you're special. Yes, you are. You're special.
What more could you
ask? And that's a wonderful thing for kids to hear.
Exactly. It's almost therapeutic for the kids to have that kind of attention throughout their whole life. That kind of, positive.
Yeah, especially if they're growing up in a dysfunctional family where their parents aren't reinforcing that idea.
And calm. Mind you, calm. That was
very calm.
Other news to very quickly say, NPR News Chief and Acting Chief Content Officer Edith Chapin announced last Tuesday that she would be voluntarily leaving the position that she's in. Also to mention, too, this is the first time in nearly 60 years that Congress has refused to fund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Last president to do so, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Is she the one that went before Congress and swore that they were balanced and that they didn't go to the left?
That's correct.
Because that is simply not true. And if you want some evidence, just turn the darn thing on and listen to it for half an hour.
It's true. It's very true. They're always criticizing Trump in every single movie.
But see, the left doesn't view themselves as left. They view themselves as the good old logical, rational thought that any thinking, balanced person ought to have. They're drinking their own Kool-Aid and reinforcing the idea. So they don't see themselves as being left.
Well, to be fair, too, NPR says we'll just try to disguise it by talking nice and calm into the microphone.
Yes.
Maybe add a British voice actor.
I love some of those old Saturday Night Live skits where they'd imitate PBS and they'd be talking like this.
Yeah,
and
they did that with the Alec Baldwin and the two girls.
We're going to do some Christmas cookie recipe sharing.
That's a very good skit if you have not seen that. But the reason why I'm bringing up Lyndon B. Johnson was that he's the one that signed the Public Broadcasting Act of 1967, which allowed Congress to vote on a yearly basis whether to fund public media systems. So that was the first year they actually stopped it. And then they started slowly transition into funding again federally there. So for those who are wondering, like, is this the end for NPR and PBS? No, not
in the the end for any of these guys.
Not only that, but federal government is going to fund again eventually, whether it be within this administration or next administration, who knows. All I know is that NPR and PBS, they are going to be just fine. I mean, yes, we did have some...
So sleep well tonight, exactly, ladies and gentlemen. Exactly. I know I'm relieved.
So the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is a private nonprofit corporation that was set up to channel federal money to public media stations nationwide, both programming and emergency alert systems. So yes, let me quickly go say this. There have been some layoffs that have occurred because of this federal situation, but that's down to the stations themselves not budgeting correctly, in my opinion. If you have a budget system in this place, you always have a plan B to make sure that people aren't laid off or any other occurrences should occur. But these people got federal money and they were spending it willy-nilly on programs that were so unnecessary in the first place, or spending it on positions that make absolutely no sense.
And look at the deficit that our country has. We should not have to be funded this kind of stuff, especially if they're calling themselves a nonprofit organization.
It's true. So very quickly, WQED, which is the station out in Pittsburgh, said they had to lay off 35% of its staff members. Over in San Francisco, KQED said they cut off 15% of their staff members. According to them, they have laid off 45 staff, 12 employees, and this even included apparently custodial employees as well.
Brendan, I'd like to cry.
Right? They also mentioned that the education department employees have been cut in half from 13 to down 6, and also the digital team, video team, is now down to just 2 employees instead of 13. So there are some public media stations that have announced that they actually had a huge surge in donations that actually matched what the federal government was going to be giving them, because almost every station was supposed to get $1 million or so. These include Nashville, Louisville, and up in Seattle. They have all exceeded over their donation surges. So again, NPR and PBS stations, they're sounding like they're just doing just fine funding wise. After this announcement, I bet many, many people who support those stations are donating like crazy to help keep those on the air, and everything should be okay.
So Brendan, where's the government funding for our radio station here? Oh, that's right. We don't get it.
No, because we are a corporation nevertheless. But on the bright side, our station here, the 1170 AM, the answer stations, the answer side, 33% of those stations are owned by Donald Trump Jr. and Ivanka Trump, I believe, also owns us.
Well, it's a good thing. I like Trump now. Back in the days when I didn't care for him, I wouldn't have been getting very far.
And besides, too, PBS said that their federal funding only covered 15% of their costs. And they specifically mentioned, like, it was due to programs with, like, PBS NewsHour and Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, those kind of shows specifically. So NPR themselves have said that they're going to take $8 million from their budget to help local stations in crisis. Last thing to note is a Harris poll. So I know, take it with a grain of salt with this last part of this, because Harris polls are very, very democratically supported more. But nevertheless, last month they took a poll and they said that 66% of Americans support federal funding for public radio, 58% were Republicans, and 77% were Democrats. And there was a 2.5% margin of error with this poll. So more people are apparently on the side of...
Did they give them a free coupon to Ben and Jerry's if they took the poll?
That's true.
All I know is the day Daniel Tiger goes off the air, democracy and freedom as we've known it will be over in our country.
My son loves Daniel Tiger. Again, another nice calm show. It's a little bit too colorful here and there for sure, but it still has that calm demeanor that Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was trying to do.
Just the same, if it goes off the air, I really think our country will be just fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, coming up, we have some state news, not just with us, but also with Texas involved too. So to find out what that's going to be, we'll take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, we are talking about the state of California, so you know what that means. We ought to talk about His Royal Highness.
His Royal Majesty,
I can't,
Newsom.
I had to blow the dust off that sound effect. We haven't
it's
used that in
It's been a while
years.
Since we've used it.
Yeah, so he made the news. What a surprise, surprise. Governor Gavin Newsom says that there may be a special election in November to begin the process of redrawing the state's congressional maps in response to Texas's plans to change its own maps to help Republicans keep their majority in the House of Representatives. Speaking at a Thursday press conference, Newsom said a special election would be called, likely by the first week of November, to approve the changes. He said, and I quote, "We will go to the people of this state in a transparent way and ask them to consider the new circumstances, to consider these new realities."
I'm under the impression, maybe I'm mistaken, that the legislature can do what they want with that. Do they even need to go and take a vote from the people?
Well, apparently, I guess they have to.
Maybe in California. Well, now, again, if this legislature is making its own laws, it may be in the law in California that they have to go to the people.
Well, I do know this. Voters created the California Citizens Redistricting Commission in 2008 to draw its legislative maps, and in 2010 expanded its powers to congressional districts.
Now, isn't it true that they include illegals in the way they redistrict that? Well, even though technically they're not allowed to vote, that helps them with the redistricting, so it still contributes toward election
fraud. Well, keep in mind, only in California votes does that count. That's why we have Democrats all the time that get elected into offices, Bob. That's how it's usually worked in our system.
Because even if the illegals aren't voting, it gives a redistricting that gives a high majority of Democrat legal voters.
Exactly.
Too.
And not to mention, if you didn't turn in a vote or you didn't vote, it's okay. They'll vote for you already. Go to vote for Newsom or any other Democratic candidate.
Well, again, he's
there,
a king. We haven't had a real election here in a long time.
Now, again, I am going to criticize Trump on this one here. So keep in mind on this one. This is apparently coming
from... You do know that
Trump owns 30% of our stations.
His son does, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe they're not listening.
So Trump has been pushing Texas and other Republican-dominated states to carry out a mid-decade redistricting that will favor the GOP and potentially stop Democrats from retaking control on the House in next year's midterm elections. So
it's a hard one because it is legal to do this stuff. Whether it's ethical is a question. But if the Democrats are going to do it, the Republicans can't just sit back and watch them do it. What are their choices?
I completely understand. But in general, this is going to be a tongue twister. In general,
gerrymandering.
Thank you. Gerrymandering, I think.
We could start a new cartoon character, General Jerry, and his gerrymandering.
Wow, that is impressive, Bob. You got that on the first take, too, ladies and gentlemen.
Not
wow.
to be confused with Tennessee Tuxedo and his tails.
Thank you. So, in general, I hate gerrymandering. I think what we should have is a set place, a set map, a set district. That's what you get. You don't move things around because otherwise, so many things happen with this situation. So many scams, so many unconstitutional things happen during this thing. And
but if illegals are moving into one of these districts, then what are you going to do about that?
You don't count their votes and you don't count them in the population.
And you don't count them in the census, which is, right. I believe Trump tried to do a census his first term mm-hmm. that didn't count illegals. And guess what? A judge overruled it.
Oh,
how about that?
Yeah. I get why we do the census every single year. Yes, I understand that. But the fact that we have to continuously move these maps, and again, a lot of things that are controversial happen around this. Again, we could talk even locally again. Like I said, there was a person running for a school board district and they were within their grounds of running for this. All of a sudden, close to the election time, the city council member who had the area looking to get reelected decided, I'm going to close her border off. So now she's outside the district. So she can't run anymore. So she had to move her family because of my election.
That's just foul
play. Yeah, just to go across the street or to another neighborhood next door. So we see examples of that locally. And again, I can go into descriptions about what's going on nationally with this whole situation. I mean, we can always look at a map and just say, oh, well, this has more population, so we got to scoot this line another 5 inches to the right. No, we don't. Just add that and just leave it alone and just don't move it at all. They are going to have the same amount of tax dollars. They're going to have just fine in the population counts, and they're going to be fine on voting. And again, stop counting illegal votes.
Or we could just pass one law that no Democrats ever qualified to run for office again. I'd be all for that.
I mean, I would be behind it too, but unfortunately,
100%.
I don't think they would allow that, unfortunately.
Well, no, because they would cheat even in that election, so that law would never pass.
It's true. Governors in Democratic-led states have responded by warning they will move to redo their own maps if Texas goes ahead with its plans, which would create an additional...
Well, Texas is going to do what it's going to do. I don't think any of this saber-rattling is going to affect Texas any.
Do you think this is coming from the push of Trump specifically, or is this something that they're having to do?
It could be. It sounds like the kind of thing Texas might have done anyway. I'm not really sure.
Now, that's what I'm getting from the story when I'm reading it, is that Texas is doing it on their own terms.
I think Texas is probably doing it and Trump is cheering them on. It's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, but I'm thinking it's Texas and then they're saying, well, whose fault can it be? Oh, spin that wheel again. Oh, look at that. It landed on Trump again. Yeah, what a surprise. Blame everything on Trump.
If you get stung by a bee, you blame it on Trump.
How could you? How did you do that to me? Another thing I wanted to mention is that California is viewed as the best opportunity for Democrats to pick up seats through gerrymandering, but voters will first have to approve changes in an independent redistricting commission that was given power to draw back in 2010. That's what I mentioned earlier. Other red states like Ohio must also redraw its maps before next year's election, and there's talk of redistricting Missouri and Indiana as well for a GOP advantage. Two other things. Newsom says that we're not here to eliminate the commission, but rather to respond to what was described as rigging the system by the President of the United States.
He would know all about rigging systems, wouldn't he?
And it won't just happen in Texas. I imagine he's making similar calls all across the country. It's a big deal. I don't think it gets much bigger than this. Last thing to mention, just because he doesn't take accountability for anything, he also put a pot shot in there saying they're doing a midterm rejection of objectivity and independence, an act that we could criticize from the sideline, or an act that we can respond to in kind, fight fire with fire.
Newsom, well, he knows all about fires, doesn't he? He's the governor of fires.
That was going to lead me to my point here about Newsom argued that another 2 years of unified Republican control of Congress would be especially harmful to California, noting that Los Angeles residents were still waiting for lawmakers to approve aid from the wildfires that were ravaged earlier
this year. What could anybody do to California that Newsom and that idiot mayor in Los Angeles haven't already done.
Not to mention, again, I've talked about her already. She was already a piece of work prior to this whole wildfire situation.
But now all her talk about ICE and how she's...
It's just driving me
crazy.
She's
fighting the good Republic fight against ICE.
Los Angeles, I'm begging you, next mayor election, do not reelect her. Do not even think about it. Don't even put a check mark next to that box, even the slightest. I want you to find a different candidate. I don't even care who it is at this point.
I would vote for a Gumby doll before voting for her.
Well, I got one last news that has to do with California, and it involves a very, very special person that we just had to deal with earlier this
year. Oh, is it Kamala the Mamala?
I think so. I think she grew up in a middle-class family.
Did she? Oh, well, let me start here. I grew up in a middle-class family.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about her when we come back.
This is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Now, I hear Kamala has written a book. I don't believe for a second that she wrote that book. If it is in the slightest bit coherent, you'll know that she didn't write it. Ghostwriters are what are normally used. They could have taken one of her word salads and threw it into an AI computer and let that spit out something for her. That would not surprise me at all either.
You know who else is not surprising here? Is that Joe Biden is also writing a book. And, yeah, I think it's under the same terms.
Now, Kamala's book, you understand, is a book because books give information and the information is in books when you read the book because in a book you have information.
Does that make a lot of sense? I think it does.
It sounds just like her. Oh, hey, maybe she wrote it after all.
Oh, man. Well, Kamala Harris, we are talking about her. She announced this week a few different things. Let's hear the beginning of her speech very quickly.
Well, I'll start with this. I grew up a middle-class kid. My mother raised my sister and me. She worked very hard. She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager.
I think I haven't heard that one before,
it's
Bob.
It's so moving. It just brings a tear to my eye.
She also announced that she will not be running for governor of California. All right, hold on. Everyone, let's pause. If you agree with that, let me hear a round of applause. Oh, nothing. It's silent. Wow.
And oh, I think it may be true that she's not running, but I don't think it's true that she doesn't want to run. I don't think she would have a lawyer's chance of hell of winning, and they're telling her that.
And who's going to fund her?
Who's going to fund her?
In California.
In the governor?
You don't think she would win the governor?
Not after that fiasco. I don't think she's going to find the fundraisers.
That is insane.
Would have to find donors. And look, nobody knows what happened to the, how many millions of dollars did they squander and can't account for in the present? Now, do I think she would want to? She would want to run for something. She might be putting a pause on this to keep the eye on the presidency, but she obviously doesn't have any real plans to leave politics.
Right.
But I don't know if she had any choice but to drop out of the governor's race or not even consider running.
It just surprises me. I think she has that support personally, especially celebrity endorsements.
Well, there's a lot of stupid people that would vote for her. I'm not arguing that, but it's the donors that would count right now. No, and the donors felt really screwed over after
I'm with
election.
You on that. I mean, look at the recent news. There was a Democratic donor who was going to get $8 million from Biden if he won the presidency.
Yes,
just came out recently. I think she had enough donors to actually definitely win. She already has the name behind herself. She has the name.
That's her greatest liability.
That's right. She already has the national attention behind her. I think she would have won the candidacy easily.
You may be right. You may be right. But what do you think she's doing? Do you think she really does plan to run for governor then? She's going to come back and say, I'll do it if the American people tell me to.
I'll just say this.
The American people are calling me.
I'll just say this. The amount of disbelief you have that Michelle Obama's not interested in running for the president of the United States is my same level of disbelief that Kamala Harris doesn't want to be governor of California. That's my level of...
Yeah, Michelle did put that stellar podcast on the air.
I'm telling you, see, there's only one thing that correlates with it eventually, so... But nevertheless, Kamala Harris said, quote, in recent months, I have given serious thought to asking the people of California for the privilege to serve as their governor. I love this state, its people, and its promise. It is my home. But after deep reflection, I've decided I will not run for governor in this election. This was a statement that was released this past Wednesday.
And you know who's disappointed? The U-Haul company. Because the moment she decides to run, their business goes through the roof.
Another thing I do want to mention, too, is that she said within her statement that she'll share more details in the months ahead about what her plans are. She also mentions that despite not running for governor, she was finding other ways to remain in that fight. Freedom, opportunity, fairness, and dignity for all, she says in the statements. Again, this goes back to your correlation of maybe she's looking to run in the presidency.
I think she's more interested in the presidency than the governorship. I am in complete agreement with you that she doesn't plan to take herself out of politics. Mm-hmm. Whether right now she could run for governor or whether she could later run for president, that really goes back to the donors. They feel screwed over.
I get it. The Democratic Party is squandering for a candidate right now for the next election. I totally get it. I mean, you went to, for some reason, that Minnesota dude. I don't understand why you were going to go to him at first. And then you also had Stephen A. Smith, a guy who's a sports broadcaster of all people.
You know who that Minnesota dude reminds me of? It came to my attention the other night. He's like a political Richard Simmons, the way he runs out on the stage and waves. Doesn't look like Richard Simmons, but he sure acts like him.
I thought you meant looks. I was like, I'm not seeing that.
No, he doesn't look like him, but he acts like a Richard Simmons.
Energy-wise, I couldn't.
You know who could have a chance? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I think the wind might be behind her, and I think there's enough dumb people that would vote for her.
For presidency-wise?
I think even for presidency.
I'm putting my chips into Newsom, unfortunately. I'm not saying, like, I'm voting for him by any means. I think he's going to be the Democratic candidate. I mean,
he's so vulnerable with his flip-flop positions, but he's very slick.
Yes.
And a lot of ladies like the way he wears his hair, and it may not mean any more than that for them.
Not to mention to you about the Gavin Newsom flip-flopping situation. Again, he's done certain policies that conservatives specifically would be like, wow, you know what? Maybe he's changed a little bit as a politician and stuff like that. So that only leads me to believe that, of course, he's leading to that presidency run coming up in 2028. But again, he's stated over and over again, I'm not interested. But I swear you had a very good comparison about whenever politicians say, I'm not going to be running.
Oh, I'm not running means they're running. Always.
Exactly.
And then when they decide to announce it, it's I wasn't going to, but the American people are calling me. I'm only doing it, not for my own ambitions. I'm doing it for the American people.
I believe you as much as the next person, I guess. I will say, too, now, what do we have coming up for the Democratic candidate for this coming round? Well, here's the list of names that I was able to find. So we have former U.S. Representative and former California Attorney General Katie Porter, who's supposedly the lead runner. I'm not sure about how she would do with, again, against a really big name like Kamala Harris if she decides to run again, or if she is going to run again in the first place. We also have former Biden administration health secretary and former California Attorney General Xavier Becerra, I think is how you pronounce his name. And he sought to position himself as an heir to the Harris legacy, he said in a public statement. We have Tony Atkins, a former California State Senate from 2018 to 2024, also was the California State Assembly from 2014 to 2016. She also was in the San Diego City Council member as well from 2000 to 2008. I would put money on her specifically only for these few reasons at the end, saying that she was not only the first woman, but the first openly LGBT person to lead California State Senate and to be both in the chambers of the state legislature, to lead both chambers of the state legislature. So because of that big news, oh, we can have the first something something. We talked about this with Obama.
So he's checking the boxes.
Exactly. So that's my person, I would think. If no one else is going to be running for governorship or any other big names, I would put money on Tony Atkins probably, but I mean, I wouldn't agree with any of her policies, mind you. So very quickly, some other names include Antonio Ramon Raragosa, who was the mayor of Los Angeles from 2005 to 2013, which, whew, you did a good job then during that time period.
Well, you did a crackerjack job during COVID.
I can't wait to see how you run my state during the meantime. Tony Krajewski, who is the California State Superintendent of Public Institution and has the backing of the California State Legislator for Blacks and California State Legislator for Jewish People. I did not know they were actually governmental bodies underneath those names, but apparently so. Eleni Koulnalaskis, who is currently the Lieutenant Governor of California. She was under some big name because back in 2024, she attempted to disqualify Donald Trump from the election following a Colorado Supreme Court ruling in Anderson v. Griswold. She was apparently doxxed and swatted due to that issue. So she might use that to help her campaign a little bit more under the governorship and say, see, we can't have this tyranny and blah, 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 blah from there. So definitely not a lot to rule out here for sure. But nevertheless, the primary elections are not till June 2nd. So we do have some time to see what is going to happen for a while, because June 2nd is still, what, like 10 months away or so? It's such a
I didn't hear Emperor Palpatine's name on the list, but he might as well be there. He would be in good company.
It's true. Well, thank you, Bob, for this.
Brendan, always a pleasure.
Thank you. The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.